everybody, and welcome back to the American Horror Story Recap Show here on Variety Radio Online. As always, my name is Brancy, and I am joined by my two co-hosts, Christina and Jess. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Brancy?
Pretty good. Jess, how about you?
Doing all right. Hanging in there.
Yes, yes. It's I'm a little sick, but comes with the territory of winter.
I was getting sick, too.
Yep, it's just that time of year.
Yeah.
But we're going to push through that, and we're just going to talk about American Horror Story. So this past week's episode was titled Room 33, and we finally got to figure out what the thing in Room 33 is.
I was expecting more.
I was expecting from like
thing.
A rat.
Say that again?
Yeah.
Oh, I was expecting like a rat thing. I don't know.
A rat?
Like a
rat. I was expecting like a creature-ish
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting, well, it was sort of a creature, but I was expecting like maybe the weird thing with Sally was in there. Or,
right.
I don't know. I was expecting something else than what we saw. But, hey, opening episode, I really had to, like, stop myself from calling you guys and be like, oh, my God, they just tied in the murder house.
I know. I was freaking out.
As soon as she pulled up, I'm like, that's the murder house. Oh.
I was watching it live, and Christina was not watching it live this week. So I was, like, freaking out, just dying. I was like, oh, my God, it's a murder house. Dying.
So did you guys both catch it right away?
Yeah, for me, definitely.
When
what about
I
you, Christina?
It, when I watched it, I tied it in. I'm like, oh.
Did you catch
because
it
I didn't
from
watch
when she...
it live?
Yeah, did you catch it from when she pulled up in front of the house or when you saw the picture inside?
When I saw the picture.
Okay. Interesting. So the first scene, we see the Countess, who is not one of my favorite people right now. She's on my S list. I don't know about you guys, but... definitely on my ass list. She dropped down a couple
Same.
Of points this episode. So she pulls up, and she had great shoes, I have to say. So you get a nice shot of her shoes. And she pulls up to the murder house. And as you know, the murder house was owned by the doctor who used to perform abortions and other medical procedures in his basement. Creepy. And so now we know how they're tied in. And so we do know now that all of the American Horror Story stories operate within the same universe.
Yeah.
Yep. And Ryan Murphy has said that if you go back when all of the seasons are done and you watch them all together, you'll see, like, the little things, but I think this is one of our first huge ones besides Freak Show and Sister Mary Eunice in Asylum.
Right. Yes, exactly. So she shows up. She wants to get an abortion. So now here's the thing. I don't know if she says she's 3 weeks because that was the law back then, in California, but I know that was illegal anyway, but maybe she was saying it just to make sure that he would do the operation, or if she really was just 3 weeks, because she was so...
Yeah. That's something I was wondering about. I was a little confused, because at first I thought she said, like, 3 weeks left, because I was like, ma'am, your stomach is huge.
Yeah, she didn't look 3 weeks. I thought she was just saying that, like, will you do this? I'm going to, like, she said it was 3 weeks, so he would do it.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I don't know if she actually was, I mean, human-wise, there's no way she was 3 weeks unless she had had, like, five babies. Because
right.
usually when you're pregnant beforehand, you tend to puff out a lot faster than you would if it's mm-hmm. your first pregnancy because you're already stretched. Not that I know from personal experience, but I do know friends that have had mm-hmm. multiple children, and they tend to show a lot sooner if they've been pregnant before.
Right.
So like I said, I don't know if human-wise, she's definitely not 3 weeks if she has not already had children. But I don't know if she was legitimately only 3 weeks, and that means that there's something inhuman inside of her, or if
right.
she was just saying that she was 3 weeks and she was actually further along because she was afraid that the doctor wouldn't do the operation if it was past a certain point in time.
Right. It could be either way. It could be just because she wanted to make sure he'd do it, or it really could be something weird going on with this pregnancy. Because going back to Vivian Harmon back in Murder House, the Antichrist
right.
baby sure grew pretty fast. So.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. But also, once we're in, it was so cool to see the basement again.
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah, it was really cool to see the basement again. And he takes her downstairs, and the nurse is checking her temperature. And she says, I think the thermometer is broken because it says that she's 75.5 degrees. And he's like, well, duh, of course she is, you idiot. You know, of course it's broken. You know, she'd be dead. So then we find out, basically because of that, that she's actually already a vampire while she's pregnant, which is kind of why I have this confusion as to whether or not she is actually 3 weeks or not.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how the hell do you get pregnant if you're undead?
Yeah, big question.
And
there.
Was she maybe pregnant before she was turned, and maybe that's why she's still pregnant, and that's why the baby is still alive and still a baby? Mm-hmm. Because it's obviously a very long time since that point in time.
That's interesting. Because I was wondering
that one
about
makes
that.
Sense.
That thing is still that small.
I think she was already already pregnant when she became a vampire and she didn't realize it.
That could be it.
That would make sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think we're on a consensus there. I think that my theory of the Countess being March's wife is going to come to fruition based on coming attractions
right.
for next week. But I'm jumping
yes,
ahead.
The preview.
Right. Because the next question would have begged to find out, you know, well then if she was pregnant ahead of time, who's the father? So I'm thinking that it's March.
Right. I think so, too, at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as per that scene, you know, they do the abortion. Thank you for not showing it. And the baby's still alive and basically kills the nurse. So I know that the doctor is whacked because we already knew that from the first season of American Horror Story. But, I mean, what has to go through your mind when an aborted baby survives and then decides to eat the face off of your assisting nurse? Does that seem...
You know,
let me clean this baby off, wrap it up, and give it to its mother. Because I'm thinking not.
Yeah, well, we all know what he did to his own kid.
That's true.
So, going back from that.
Yeah, that is true. Fair enough. I forgot about that until you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's fair to say he's not in a solid state of mind.
Yeah. So what happens next? Because I don't have my computer in front of me.
I don't remember, like, the order that everything was, if that makes sense. Like, I remember everything that happened, but not in what order it happened.
So why don't we go through the storylines then, as instead of jumping around scene by scene? So having to do with room 33, Ramona comes to visit because she wants
yep.
to kill the kids because she knows it will hurt the Countess. And kudos to Iris for coming into her own. She is just kicking ass and taking names at this point. She's got a lot of self-confidence. It's lovely to see.
It is nice to see.
Yeah. And so Ramona comes and so she wants her to kill the children, and Donovan is, I guess, not down with that. He still has somewhat of a heart. So she tells him, you know, go ahead, go upstairs and go sniff her panties. And, okay, so I didn't actually expect him to go sniff her panties.
I didn't either.
So I thought that was quite amusing.
Yeah.
So there's this whole thing with John, and previously they had broken up the coffin in the pool house. So
right.
There's no coffins when Ramona comes. And we'll talk about John's weird encounter a little later. But in any case, previous events have made it so that there's no coffin, so the kids aren't there. I'm assuming they're in the playroom, but I don't know why Ramona wouldn't have put that together. She obviously knew that the children existed. She obviously knew that they slept in the pool room. And she knows Iris. So where are the kids?
That's true.
So they're going to go. Iris is like, I'm going to come help. And I love the fact that she says you have more balls than your son. And it's true. And Ramona also basically says, you know, you must really have a hate on for these kids. And Iris's response is actually a fairly normal one. I mean, not a fairly normal one, like, let's go kill children. But it makes sense in the situation that she feels that she's actually going to be doing them a service by ending their lives, because it really isn't the lifestyle for them, and it's not fair for them. So I can get behind that. What about
yeah,
you guys? Would you do it?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely
yeah.
not the lifestyle they should have.
Yeah, and I agree with, I think it was either Brancy or, I think it was Brancy, last week or the week before that was talking about, I mean, did we not learn from Lestat that this was not a good idea?
Yeah, definitely.
So I have to agree that, yeah, it's one thing if you're an adult and you have free will and you're able to basically just move around and just change your name. But as a child, there's no way to get away with that.
No.
Right. You'll just be miserable as time goes
yeah.
on.
And plus, they don't seem to have really, you know, with Lestat and all that, she grew up. Even though she was a child, she was very mature, and she was basically hundreds of years old. These kids don't seem to be maturing emotionally.
That's true.
That's weird, right?
Yeah. Let's see. How long has Holmes been there? A couple years.
Like 5 years.
Right. But the other children were not too sure of, I guess. So they could be really old for all we know.
Yeah, I don't know. But they don't seem to be mature or emotionally older. They all seem to be stuck in that age range. And I don't know that I would want to be a 5-year-old for the rest of my life.
Although,
not in that environment.
Not in that environment, no. I just want to sit and color. I just spent $80 on coloring books today. I guess I do want to be a 5-year-old for the rest of my life, but in a different way.
Right. I think I'll keep my adult body because I don't really want to be a 5-year-old. Body
no.
forever.
Yeah. You're telling me when I have to go to bed. Really? Come on. So we never got to see the resolution to that, but they couldn't find the children, so she decides that, you know, if we can't find the children right now, then what I'll do is we'll go and take out the thing in room 33, and we find out that that is actually, of all the names that they could have named this child, Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
I know. If she said that name one more time, I was going to crack up. I couldn't. I just couldn't even.
What a name.
Seriously. Uh-huh. So, yeah, apparently the Countess is, that's the only shred of motherly love that I've seen from the Countess has been towards Bartholomew.
Right.
And I don't see it with the other children. I mean, I know we talked about that like last week, but I really don't see it with the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll go into it in the next couple episodes because they're trying to kill them.
Yeah.
But
now that you guys are about to die, we're going to give you a backstory.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's usually the way it works.
Pretty much on American Horror Story, that's how it is.
Yeah. You get a backstory, you're on your way out.
Yep. You get a backstory, you get a love interest. You're done. Awful.
Oh, too soon. Anyway. So, Ramona goes into the room. She decides that she's going to kill Bartholomew. And she accidentally lets him out. I thought he was going to eat her face off.
That would have been a mess.
It would have been.
I would have laughed.
You know, they're like, we let him out like it's some little creature thing, and it's a baby, but that thing does not look like a baby, okay?
No.
And, I mean, it didn't look as gruesome as I thought it was going to at the very end.
The whole episode I was just screaming in the TV, I want to see the face. I want to see the baby's face. Because we kept seeing the camera from the perspective of Bartholomew. And I was like, I just want to see the kid's face.
Right.
And
so
because
now,
they built it up so much, I was dying at the end.
Right. So now do you think that the baby's face is like that because the doctor had to cut and remove? Or if that's really the way his face was?
That's what I was wondering, if it had anything to do with the botched abortion or not. Because Dr. Montgomery is not exactly the best surgeon.
Right. I think it's actually just the way his face was before the operation. I think that's just part
that's
of him for being, like, almost like the baby was almost partially formed.
Right.
When she became churned, that would make more sense.
That's true. Because technically she calls it, like, a virus. The virus could have been, like, affected the way it grew.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally morphed it.
Poor Bartholomew.
Poor Bartholomew.
Never had a chance.
So, on top of that, Ramona goes in there. She's going to try and kill this kid. Now, she must know that he's quick and sneaky, and she keeps saying, oh, I missed you, and blah, 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 and we know that she's got the knife, so I guess where I'm going with this is, did she think that she was going to actually get away with it? Because the kid seems actually fairly smart.
Yeah.
Did she honestly think that she was going to be able to just walk in and kill this kid?
Right.
She probably thought she was, you know, seeing how she's bigger, she probably thought she was stronger than him and had a better chance at killing him.
Mm-hmm.
But she failed.
She did. She was epic fail. So he knocks her down, knocks her out. I don't know what he did to her, but I know he knocks her down and then knocks her out, but I don't know if he drank her blood or whatever. And he takes off.
Now nobody sees this thing. Nobody.
Not at all, apparently.
The hotel seems, I don't even know how they're operating at this point, because it seems like there's so few people that show up to this hotel. They're not getting rent, so how are they paying taxes? I mean, maybe I'm getting a little too, I realize that it's supposed to be a horror movie and there's some suspension of disbelief, but some of these things are just really very interesting. It would seem more likely that they were actually getting more customers because it would be like a haunted hotel.
Right, like a very touristy kind of thing.
Yeah, but there doesn't seem to be any. It just seems to be like a collection of dead people.
Very true.
Maybe that's why people don't come, because they don't know.
Mm-hmm. So this is where the storyline crosses over with John. Do we want to rewind now and go back to John's storyline?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Francie, why don't you take us through that? Or Christina,
do
you want to take us through?
Brandy, you probably remember it more than I do.
I mean, I don't remember the very first scene that we have, but I think it's pretty safe to say John Lowe is losing it.
Wait,
yeah.
Christina.
I don't remember.
What were you saying?
Who, me?
Yeah, Christina.
Oh, I remember him waking up and Holden was beside him.
Right.
And, you know, Holden's just like, hi, Daddy, and then he follows him.
Right, so yeah, that was the first bit. Which shows that yet again, he has still not been informed by his wife about their children.
No, and here's the thing about that. I am liking Alex less and less every episode.
I agree. I dislike her completely.
Same.
And the reason why I'm disliking her more and more, I suspect you guys will agree, is that she seems to be less and less emotionally involved with anybody.
She really does.
That's true. She's also very monotone.
She is. She's becoming more and more like a wet rag.
Yep. And it sucks to watch that, because I love Chloe Savini so much.
I mean, she's doing a great job,
yeah.
But for the most part, her character is not very likable right now.
No, because it's like, I'm
not
you,
all.
But your character is no.
Yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate. But she, so instead of telling John the truth about what happened, she decides to make him think that he's insane.
That was awful. That's such a mean thing to do, is to make somebody think that they've gone insane.
It really is. It's a truly awful thing to do. But I don't understand why. Does she just want Holden all to herself? Does she think that John's not going to believe her? I mean, he's living in the hotel. It's not like he hasn't seen weird things.
True.
Yeah. Well, she definitely has a weird connection to Holden.
That's
yeah,
a little strange. I mean, I understand about loving your child, but she really loves her child.
Yeah.
A little.
I get a very
a little,
weird.
Yeah. There's a weird thing going on there. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand having a special bond and falling in love with your child when you see them and all that kind of stuff, but and I know
yeah,
that people
feel weird.
Yeah, I know that people love their children above all else, and I totally get that, but this just, it's just very strange.
It is.
I can't really relate to it, so one, I don't have children,
yeah.
And two, I mean, I have nieces and nephews and things like that, but and I love them dearly, but I can't even imagine that type of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty far. And it's not like it's both of her kids either. It's just Holden.
No. And I really felt so bad for Scarlett. I
yeah,
keep
she
saying
is the
that.
True horror story of the season. She has just a shit life.
She does.
So bad for her.
And I kind of feel bad for John because John tries to make it better. He, you know, he decides he's going to get out of there for a little while. And he goes, he's going to get out because Alex's character decides to make him think that he's crazy. So she does that by conning the two, I think they were Swedish. They're either Swedish or German.
I think they were Swedish.
They're Swedish that come in at the beginning of the season and they get killed. So like we said, it's in the same universe as Murder House. So anybody who dies in the hotel who has unfinished business is going to come back and they can't leave the hotel. And they confirm that in this episode by telling them, you know, we want to get out. And I forget who was telling them that they're not getting out. Who was it?
Donovan.
Was it Donovan? Right, they showed up while he was sniffing panties.
Yeah, because you got to
So Donovan basically.
Apparently.
Right. So Donovan basically says to them that, look, you're not leaving here. You died here, you're staying here until you find a purpose. And I don't, that was unclear. That means that once they find a purpose, they can move on, or once they find a purpose, it won't matter to them that they can't leave. Because if you remember in the Murder House, there were people who had purposes, but they were still there.
True.
Right.
And in Murder House, I don't think we saw anybody technically move on. Once we saw them in the Murder House, they were always there.
Right. And then he talks about the girl who committed suicide in the hotel, and then she decided that she wanted to haunt people who were in that room. So he said that she found a purpose, but her purpose was haunting people. So that doesn't mean that they get to move on. It just means that they don't care that they're stuck there.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, that they don't care.
Right. So Alex gets wind of them. They wind up accosting this this poor unsuspecting soul in the in the hotel and basically double team him, and then they decide to kill him. So he gets murdered. Alex walks in. She tells them, you know, there's a lot easier way, because now they feel bad for killing him. So she says, well, there's other ways to. There's better ways to do some, to have a purpose than to killing people. And so she decides that she's going to have, she decides that she's going to have them try to make John think he's crazy. And she says, well, I know a guy who's staying at the hotel who's always wanted two girls. And then that scene was just so bizarre. What even happened?
Yeah. Very weird.
Whose blood was that?
Yeah. Strange, right? It was just a very strange scene.
Yeah, it was weird.
I didn't appreciate that.
He didn't appreciate that. I'm sure he didn't appreciate it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So what else happened then? He freaks out. He decides he's going to get out of the hotel. He feels like he's going insane. He's getting out of the hotel. Mm-hmm. He's covered in blood, takes a shower, and Bartholomew decides he's going to climb in his suitcase, and he doesn't notice, and he takes him home. like a cockroach.
Like, how heavy is that thing? Apparently pretty light if you didn't even notice.
Well, it is a baby. It can't be that big. I mean, it can't be that
heavy.
Exactly.
goodness.
I mean, it's not like
in your suitcase.
Yeah. So he takes him home, and he picks up Scarlett, and Scarlett's been sleeping over a friend's house, and her mom hasn't been answering the phone. So she's been basically abandoned by Alex, which is another reason why I really can't stand Alex right now. She just totally forgot about her daughter.
It's like she doesn't even have one.
What was that?
Right.
She acts like she doesn't even have a daughter.
Yeah. So he brings her back. Scarlett freaked out for no reason. I mean, her dad's a cop. And, you know, he has come home from work, I'm sure, with blood on him. Or, you know, I'm sure that he would have come home in some sort of disarray at some point, based on his job as a murder detective. So she freaks out when she sees the blood. He tells her it was an accident and, you know, not to worry about it. He's going to go put it in laundry and whatever. And then she kind of, like, freaks out about him. He didn't seem to be acting strange to me at home. I don't know about you guys. What did you think?
No, I don't think he was acting too strangely.
And then I understand her freaking out about the gunshots, but I would have been more afraid about what was he shooting at than the fact that he was shooting.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have ran away from him. I would have been like, "What? Come help me, you know, protect me. Whatever you're shooting at, obviously you're trying to protect me." But,
right.
I mean, maybe that's just my point of view.
No, I agree, especially because, like, my dad is a cop, so I would definitely be trusting him on the situation here.
Right. I mean,
because I know he would never shoot a gun for no reason.
Right. So if your dad came home and he was standing in the kitchen and all of a sudden he started shooting a gun, what would be the first reaction that you had? It wouldn't be to be like, stay away from me. It would have been like, what's going on and where do I go?
Exactly.
Called. I realized that now they think he's crazy. So everybody thinks he's crazy, which is what Alex wants. And Alex is there. The poor kid is in the car, in the cop car. And he's like, I'm going to take her over to her grandmother's house. Do you want to talk to her? And she's like, no, I'm good. Wouldn't that be odd? Wouldn't you think that was odd as a police officer?
Definitely. That would have been a red flag.
Yeah.
Especially since the mother wasn't taking her. You know what I mean? Like, I would have thought that the cop would have released her to her mother.
Right.
That's true.
Am I off base on this, though? I mean, I feel like I'm being very critical of this episode, and I guess I am, but it just was a very strange episode.
It did have some strange things, like, I don't know. Some of it really struck me as strange.
So, somebody's phone is going off, by the way. So, part of the whole episode is that I've been procrastinating getting to because I just don't want to admit that it actually happened, was the scene with Liz and Tristan and Gaga and the Countess. So we find out that Tristan and Liz have been having a relationship, and they were so cute together.
They were. They were a good couple. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. So I have to admit, when I first saw them together, I'm like, wait, she said she wasn't gay. And then it dawned on me, well, no, if she believes that she's a woman, she wouldn't think that she was gay.
I had the same thought process.
Right. And then it clicked. And then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So.
Right. She basically
and that's
says
cool. Whatever.
That too.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter in the whole scheme of things. It was just a second of me saying, well, oh, wait, I thought, oh, all right, okay, that makes sense. And
right.
But they were so cute together, and the fact that, you know, they really seemed to care for each other. It was an odd combination. I really didn't expect, but it was surprising, and I really kind of was rooting for the two of them, but I knew it wasn't going to end well.
Definitely not. The American Horror Story track record tells you as much.
Right. So she gets back from her honeymoon, I'm assuming. Did they get married? Or did they just go on vacation?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if they ever specified or not.
I don't know.
I feel like it would have been more theatrical if they had gotten married already.
Yeah, I want to say that it just seems like a vacation or something, that maybe he took her to Paris.
Yeah.
And so she gets back, and I love that she was like, oh, well, is this about the operation? Because as soon as all that goes through, we'd be happy to pay for that. So I was like, oh, okay, so maybe this is going to work out okay. Maybe I'm going to be surprised about this. And her reaction, as soon as Liz told her that it was Tristan, which is like, I don't share. And I just felt throughout the whole, I don't know if you guys thought the same way, but I just felt throughout the whole encounter that was very selfish of her. You know, obviously she just kicked Donovan out, and then she moved on to Tristan, and then she just moved on to the fashion designer. And I just felt that, really, come on, you can't just let him have this.
Right. And especially since they seemed so close.
Right.
Like when she thought it was about having an operation, she was all about it, but as soon as it became something closer to her, it wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys noticed, but I picked up on it right away. Did you realize during that whole scene that the scene is definitely about jealousy and being selfish and all of that? And did you realize that she was wearing green?
No. It wasn't like a conscious thought, but now that I think about it,
yeah, totally,
I was wondering.
I noticed it because I do a lot of costume design, and I thought, huh, that was a really subtle way of incorporating the color green into the emotion that was happening in the scene. And I liked that part of it. It didn't really have anything to do with the story. I kind of dug it that she was obviously wearing green, and it totally played into the scene.
Yeah, definitely.
So what did you think was going to happen in that scene? Because Tristan was right on. Everything he said to her was absolutely 100% true.
Yeah, he was definitely right with everything he was saying. So I don't know.
And then I felt awful for Liz, because then finally she's like, okay, sure, go ahead, you can have him. And then she just kills him.
I had a feeling it was coming.
I had a feeling it was coming too. I was hoping it wouldn't be, but she's not making any friends this way. And you'd have to think at this point that there's going to be some blowback because of these actions. So was it just a crime of passion? Do you think that, I mean, obviously it was a bit premeditated because she knew she was going to do it, but was it just because she didn't want to share, or was she doing it to be vindictive, or was she just saying, no, I told you no? I think she was just being vindictive.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay. So Alex finds Bartholomew outside the house. and then promptly disappears again and goes back to the hotel. And takes him back, fixes him up, and the Countess comes back in and sees that he's back, and she saved him. Mm. So I guess she won brownie points with the Countess.
Right. I think she did.
So what do you think is going to happen at this point? I mean, you guys have been pretty quiet for most of the episode. What are your thoughts? I mean, I'm tired of talking. You guys should.
Oh no, you're fine.
Just.
I don't know. I feel like this weird relationship that's happening right now between the Countess and Alex, I don't know how to take it, because she's like, oh, you saved my son. And I was like, that just feels so weird to me, considering how much other people in the hotel have done for her, and she doesn't seem to have the same reaction towards them as she does to Alex.
It's strange,
probably,
right?
Because Bartholomew is, I guess, the only thing that's definitely hers, you know, like, completely hers. Nobody can really take that away from her unless they kill him or something like that.
So here's the question, though. If she was getting an abortion at the beginning of the episode, why is she so attached to this child?
You know, that's a good point.
Maybe she's attached because the child didn't die, and when she saw the kid for the first time, she's like, oh, you know. I guess sort of the same feeling that Alex had with Holden. She probably felt for Bartholomew when he wasn't dead, you know, he was alive.
Hmm.
Right, kind of like it was almost divine intervention. Like, there's a reason this kid lived.
Right.
And
okay.
I don't know from experience, but I've heard, obviously I've never had a child, but I've heard that once you actually have the kid in your hand is something so much different than just pre-birth.
Well, yeah.
So maybe it just had to
be
that.
Your body's kind of wired that way. Your brain has this weird rewiring that happens as soon as you see a child. You're genetically programmed to instantly, you know, bond with it. So,
right.
Just very,
hopefully
your body
not
is just
to bond
very strange.
Alex to have with Holden.
No.
Right. Now, Alex seems to be really taking to this child. I mean, there was no drawing back in disgust or surprise or anything like that. She's just kind of like bold with it.
That's very true. Maybe that's a big part of why the Countess likes her so much, because she did not even flinch.
Oh, that's true too.
Hmm. Could be. So what do you think? I mean, the coming attractions for next week is a little vague. What do you think is going to happen next week?
It is vague. I'm excited to see that Evan Peters was in there, though, because we haven't really seen a whole lot of James March yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see that. The connection with him and the Countess. I'm excited to see that. Hopefully we get
right.
The next episode.
Right, because we've been all suspecting it. Everybody's been suspecting it, so it'd be nice to have it confirmed. Or tonight. I mean, I just want to know.
So things we liked about this episode. Go, Francie.
You said things we liked about this particular episode?
Yeah.
So for room 33, I think for me, I really liked the glimmer of hope we had with Liz Taylor and Tristan, which was unfortunately cut short abruptly. I really think that was probably my favorite bit of it. But I knew as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, Tristan's done.
I mean, they all
I knew Finn Wittrock
was freaking insane. They had to be insane to even attempt that.
Right. And he's not in the credits, so I knew Finn Wittrock was going to meet his end soon, because he was in several episodes in the beginning.
Right. He was not playing Dandy. I mean, he was he was not far off in the beginning from Dandy, but I'm glad that he's not playing the same whiny character.
Very much so.
All right, Christina, what was your favorite part of the episode?
I really did like the Liz and Tristan scene. I thought it was very sweet while it lasted. But I also liked the scene with Ramona and Iris, where Iris was willing to, you know, kill the kids when Donovan wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
She was willing to take that step. I liked that scene, too.
Okay. I have to agree with you. I think that my favorite part of the episode was the little interaction between Ramona and Iris. And the fact that, you know, it's definitely, she definitely seems like she's on board with taking the Countess down.
Yeah.
And at first I was kind of rooting for the Countess because I liked her, but now I'm kind of okay with letting her kind of, you know, get taken down with that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. So things we didn't like about the episode.
Alex. Yeah,
I
don't like Alex.
Okay. I didn't like Alex in the episode, no, but I didn't like it was just a very strange episode. It didn't feel very congruent to me. It didn't feel very put together. It seemed very disjointed.
It was very strange, but
yeah.
I did like the tie to Murder House. I liked that it was a very clear, very distinct connection. It wasn't like a vague, maybe this connects this way. It was, no, she literally went to the house. She saw the doctor.
Okay, so I'm changing my mind then, because that I think that is actually my favorite part, because they actually jumped off the couch, and I was like, oh, my God, it's the Murder House.
I was pretty excited, because I thought the only connection to Murder House we were going to have was the realtor. Early in the season,
which
when
was
I
the
saw
what?
It, I was like, yes! The realtor is the same one who brings Will Drake to the Hotel Cortez. She was a realtor in the Murder House. She brought,
oh
like,
my God, I didn't even remember that. I didn't even catch that. That is so cool.
Yeah, I thought that was the only connection that we were going to have to another season, so I was pretty freaking excited to see a clear connection between two seasons.
Hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I really liked that they brought that in. Where do we want to see this go? What do we want to see happen, guys?
You know, that's the weird thing about this season. I'm not sure what the overreaching arc is going to lead to. Because I feel like in other seasons we've had a sense of something building, but I don't really know where we're going to end up yet.
Yeah.
I have no idea either.
Because, I mean, like, Murder House, it was all, like, who's Rubber Man? Asylum, it was all about, I mean, you know what happened in Asylum. Coven, it was about, like, who's the next Supreme. Yeah, so I'm not sure what we're going towards here yet, because it feels like a lot of people have been coming into the hotel but haven't been making a whole lot of progress. Like, I still have no idea what the hell's going on with Sally.
Yeah. I would really like them to get back to doing the Bible killer, the Bible thumper, which they did mention in this episode.
That's true.
You know, John showed up at the crime scene and there was another one, and it really has like a Dante's Inferno type feel to it. I don't know if you guys have ever read that book, but
yep.
If you haven't, it's awesome. It's one of my favorites. So I'm down with the whole Bible thumping type, seven type murders. But I want to know more about that. I want to know how that ties in. Is this just a superfluous thing in the background for, you know, introducing the character? Or is it really having to do with something in the hotel?
True. And now that you mentioned that, I guess I had completely forgotten about the Ten Commandment killer or whatever it is, because it hasn't been super huge. So maybe that's
right.
playing into what the overreaching arc is.
Yeah. And again, I still think there's some sort of tie-in with Devil's Night. I'm not quite certain that John isn't actually insane and isn't subconsciously the Ten Commandment killer. But I guess we'll find out eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much talked about everything that we could talk about. I'm sorry it wasn't as exciting as... I mean, we were all bubbly, and it's so funny. From one week to the other, last week, we just couldn't find enough to talk about. I mean, we couldn't stop talking about that episode, and this episode didn't seem to be as great. You know, it didn't seem to be a lot that we could talk about that
right.
excited us.
It was very weird. It was just a very strange episode. I mean, like, disregarding the cool murder house connection, the Liz Tristan stuff. It was just very weird what was going on with John this week.
It was very, very strange.
Mm-hmm. I do want to keep one of our co-hosts in our thoughts, mention them. Ella's mom passed away today. So if you know her, please feel free to reach out to her on Facebook and offer her condolences. But we'll be keeping her in our thoughts and prayers for the foreseeable future. I really feel bad. And if you get a chance, just send her a message and let her know that you're thinking of her. I'm sure she'll appreciate it.
Yes, definitely. I do Teen Wolf with Ella, so if you guys have a moment, just take a second to let her know that you're thinking about her. That'd be wonderful.
Yes. And also another sad mention today. Some of the newer hosts probably don't know Sean, but Amy gave me a call yesterday and let me know that she found out that a friend of ours, Sean Daly, who used to run The Daily Show on BTR, and who is actually responsible for setting me and Amy and Gina and everybody up on BTR with Variety Radio Online. We started out as Moonlight Radio, and then we transferred into Vamp Radio, and now we're Variety Radio Online. Sean Daly was kind of the grandfather of Variety Radio Online, and it was very, very sad to hear about his passing earlier this month, but we just found out about it, and it sucks getting old.
It really does.
Yeah, that was upsetting. And I believe he was he had a major role in the Nut campaign for Jericho, if I'm correct,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. He was instrumental in that campaign. So he's actually very well known in the Jericho circles, and that's actually how we found out about it.
Right.
We were logging on, and somebody had mentioned that they were sending a tribute, and we hadn't heard from him in a while, but, unfortunately, he had passed, so...
Yeah.
Just sucks getting old. Now that we're leaving on a sad note. But we'll be back again next week. And if you guys want to talk about anything, if you agree or disagree with what we're saying, you love us, if you hate us, please contact us, let us know, give us feedback on the show and maybe on our theories. Maybe you want to present your own theories. Feel free. You can contact us at the VRO. What is it? What's our email? VRO@thevro.com, right?
Yes, I believe that's correct. And
yeah.
Also, if you're listening on Audio Boom, you can just leave a comment, and we'll see it there, too, if you guys have anything you want to say.
Mm-hmm. You guys want to shout out your Twitter and Facebook?
Sure. If you like random things and me ranting, you can find me at VRO. Brancy on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram at christina.marie.f. I never use it, but you're free to follow me if you want to.
Okay. I don't really have too much in the way of social media. I do have a Facebook page. I don't usually give it out, so you'll probably find me. if you are a follower of the VRO, you will see. I prefer not to give it out because reasons. And I don't really do Twitter all that much anymore. However, I do have a Twitter handle. My Twitter handle is VRO Jess. So it's at VRO Jess. I don't quite use it that often, but you're welcome to follow me, and every once in a while I pop on.
Yes, I agree. I'm very rarely on Twitter nowadays, but it's all right. But we also have the VRO has their own Twitter, so you can follow that. There are a lot more posts on that, and that's at the VRO.
Yes. That's actually probably the best one to follow. So if you're going to follow somebody, definitely follow at the VRO, because then you won't just see posts about our shows, but you'll see posts about all of the shows and blogs and exciting things that are happening on the radio show, including, like Christina and Brancy said, Teen Wolf. There's a whole bunch of them that were doing Vampire Diaries, The Walking Dead. I think that's the next show that's going to come up tomorrow will be The Walking Dead.
Right, right. The Walking Dead should be up tomorrow night.
Yes.
It should be up tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
As I mentioned, there's tons of shows.
Okay, I think it's time for us to go. I will see you guys next week.
All right, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see everybody back again next week for another American Horror Story recap show. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.